This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday, podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money. We up. Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
Jay Valentine.
And this is truly the R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah.
This is the authority of all things R&B.
Oh, shit, he yelling.
Like a motherfucker. You know what? Let me switch to a more prestigious tone. Because we have...
Tone and accent?
Yes, we have...
All right, shit.
In the building, we have a master of the craft.
For sure.
We have deity in the building. His work is biblical. It is etched in stone.
A book of songs.
Just as the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
It is etched in stone. I speak of a man who spans decades of R&B excellence. He sits on the board of the R&B Elders Association. He is a rule maker in all things that are decided in terms of what R&B is and how R&B lives. This man has cultivated farms of produce that continue to serve and feed the R&B community. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking none other than His Excellency, Lord Troy Taylor.
Wow. I have never.
Troy Taylor. Lord himself, as you can tell by the beard, that is a Lord's beard. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Welcome, bro.
I appreciate it.
Come
appreciate
on, man. Long time coming.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
We've been waiting on this.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been waiting on it, actually.
Yes. We can't wait to really talk the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because, because you know, you are truly, like, your wingspan in this shit is crazy.
Yeah, it's deep.
It's definitely deep. We don't have to pause that. We're going to keep that.
Oh, yeah, technically. Okay.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah. So first of all, thank you for coming. You are a brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you family.
Yes.
So that goes without saying.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, we thank you for giving us your time, man. And,
thank you.
And giving us the in-depth of the things we're getting ready to talk about.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes,
I'm
sir.
Excited. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, just feeling good about myself today. This, you know, this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments where.
It's very R&B.
Yes.
Where
very
you know.
R&B.
Let's do this, Troy. Because you were once a lad. You were once a lad.
Mm-hmm.
And you were once an aspiring lad.
Yes.
You aspired to be something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Within your aspirations, there had to be some confirmation somewhere as a young boy where someone said, ah, it is on you. You have that.
Mm-hmm.
Keep pushing.
Mm.
Or where you identified it yourself and said, you know what? I'm kind of that boy.
Definitely. After church, we'll go over to the piano. I'm like 11, 12 ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this notion that the piano was easy.
Mm.
Like it seemed easy until I went over and hit the keys and it wasn't easy. And at that point, that's when it became a challenge.
Mm.
I want to learn how to do this. How do they do? And from there, I just started off like
self-taught.
Really self-taught and just working it out. And then a couple of friends would show me chords
mm-hmm.
and I would work on those chords
mm-hmm.
and work on those chords until it was fluent.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically throughout high school, just in bands, you know, in groups and stuff like that. And then at the end of high school, my music teacher, my mom told me that I needed to get a job or go to school, and I don't like school.
I don't like school either.
So the idea of graduating and going back to school was like, why would I do that?
I tried it.
So
I didn't try it.
you didn't like, try
I'm
regular
out.
School.
Like, I'm out. Fuck yeah.
So my music teacher, Mr. Bowie, suggested, because I told him what my mom said, and he said, I have this school in Hartford that you should check out. It's a 2-year program.
Because you're from Connecticut.
I'm from New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you're jumping up to Hartford now.
Yeah, and it was a 2-year program. So it's simple. It's 2 years, get your diploma, and you out. So I thought that was a great compromise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Told my mom, okay, I'll do that. Because 2 years, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it for me. But within that 2 years, that's when it was jazz theory and record production.
Ooh, jazz theory and
record production. So in that school is where I would learn 2-5-1. Once I heard what it sounded like, I was able to, that's what it's called. You know, my whole life, I hear it. You hear it in Stevie Wonder. You hear it in Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
You hear the turnarounds. But you don't know what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, going to school, I learned what the language, 4-chord, the 3-chord, the 6-chord, the mm-hmm. 2, you know. And the record production, they were a little behind on technology. So I didn't really learn too much about that. Mm-hmm. I had already had my 8-track,
gotcha.
You know, I was already ahead of them.
Yeah.
But the jazz theory is what clicked for me. And after that, I hit the streets.
Really?
Did you finish the 2 years?
Finish the 2 years. I graduated. And then after that I realized, oh, no, this is what I want to do. Of course, I was an artist first.
While you were in college?
No, I was an artist that all the way up to 22.
So after college, you
I was still in a group. I was still in a group.
Hold on, when you get in the group?
I was in a group throughout high school.
What's the name of the group? Yeah.
Okay, so the first group I was in was called Sweet Attraction.
Sweet Attraction.
Yes.
That's absolutely R&B.
Yes. Very, very, very R&B.
And then, very baby face.
Sweet Attraction. Yeah, you heard them think of Sweet Attraction?
I feel like LA and Babyface somewhere in there. Like, yeah. It was Bree.
Was there some curls involved? Was
Yeah, I did that.
Gotta be some jail.
I had a little Jerry curl. And then I was in a band too. I can't think of the name of the band, guys. Don't kill me. I can't think of the name of the band, but it was just me. I was a keyboardist, and we had a bass guitar player, drummer. I forget the name of the group. And then I was in my last group before I went on my own with Shamari.
That's the name of the group, Shamari.
Shamari. Yes.
Was it like a spinoff?
Shamari is a Swahili word.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't remember.
All right.
I know it's a Swahili word. All but right. Yes, I was in Shamari and just.
Well, they watch this in Africa, so somebody's going to.
Oh!
We've been waiting.
So I got out. When I got out of that, that's when I went on my own. And being so anxious, I ended up signing this record deal that was horrible. It was the horriblest deal you could ever sign.
Like a local record deal?
So what makes it that bad?
I went to New York. Major label or indie? It was an independent label. I'll tell you one thing that made it so bad. I signed my publishing away for the rest of my life.
Shit!
Wait, what?
That's how bad it was.
In perpetuity?
Period. I was anxious. Oh, I didn't get an attorney to look at the deal. Because I was anxious. I was 20 years old and I was trying to leave. I was trying to get out of New Haven. I was trying to...
And do you remember how much money they gave you for this?
I don't remember. But it wasn't a lot of money. It was a horrible deal.
It was just enough to get out.
Yeah, it was enough to leave. I don't even remember getting paid, actually. Yeah. I tell this story because I like to tell people so that they can know being anxious is not rushing.
It's a bad place to make a decision.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Rushing. Yeah. Yeah. Being anxious and being
it's almost under your own duress, right?
Yes.
You put this pressure on yourself.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It
you
was
back
horrible.
Yourself up against the wall in mm-hmm. a sense to where anything looks good to get off this wall
yes.
or to get out of this corner. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So throughout my teenage years, I did record stores. I worked at record stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, if I'm going to get a job, I'd rather work at a record store to keep me close to music.
Mm-hmm.
But I would read credits all the time because, you know, that's an art in itself.
Yes.
And there would be one name that I would always see and it seemed like every time I saw his name, it was attached to something I liked. And his name was Timmy Regisford.
Mm.
And so that name always stuck in the back of my head. So let's fast forward to this record deal. I'm signed to this label now.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me for my single, who did I want to get to mix the single? I said Timmy Regisford, not knowing that they would know him. And they said, hey, get Timmy on the phone. I'm like, what?
Oh, that blew your mind.
What?
Yeah, that blew your mind.
So long story short, fast forward, I'm going to meet Timmy Regisford. So they scheduled the mix. I think it was on a Monday. I came up with this plan to play three beats that I did have songs to them, but I won't play that. I'll play the music,
mm-hmm.
hoping that he will say, where's the song? Then I would say, I have the songs. And then he would say, let me hear the songs. And I would say, I don't have them with me, but I can come back to get a meeting. Well, that was in my head. So do the mix. During the break, he broke to get something to eat for lunch. And so when he went to the lounge, I asked him if I could play him some more music. First of all, I thanked him for, you know, doing the mix. And I said, can I play some music? I had the boombox. You know when that was.
Yeah.
With the cassette deck, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he said, yeah, he was eating. And I played him. I gave him the cassette. He put in. He got in the middle of the second beat. And he was like, where's the song? So I have songs today. He said, let me hear them. I don't have them, but I can, you know, I definitely can come back. I can, you know. He was like, okay. And he scheduled a meeting for Wednesday. at Motown because he worked at Motown. He was a Motown executive, A&R.
Did you not know this yet, or you did know this?
I did know, but I didn't pay attention to that because I was just looking at the fact that this is Timmy Register, whose name is on the back of so many things at Motown. I didn't think about that. And so I came back Wednesday, took the train, came back, and had a bag full of cassettes. And I played him all my music. He got so into the music and so into me as an artist that he bought me out of that contract.
What?
And signed me to Motown.
Wow. Yeah. And in this turnaround for said indie label, how long was that?
It was a little under a year because I wasn't on it long. Now, during the course of this horrible deal, the reason why I found out how bad this deal was, because at that time I was working with who would then become my partner, Charles Farrar. Mm-hmm. I met him at this horrible label. He was just there using the phone.
What?
He was just there using the label to use the phone and do meetings. He didn't
using the phone.
Yeah, yeah, because he would just go there to have meetings and stuff. Just to use, he knew the people there. Yeah, yeah. So he would just use the office phone and, to do meetings.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm here. I'm up here right now. No, it's popping. It's popping. Yeah. So, let's meet here.
It's this new kid. He just pulled up.
Yeah, he just pulled
we
up.
We own him.
We own him.
Shit. So one of the persons that did actually work there was his friend. That's how he... And so it was him who suggested to Charles, hey, why don't you have this kid who came up here? You should have him play keys for you. And so Charles got my number and called me and asked me to come to New York to do keyboard work. So I didn't really know him, but he paid me. So, and then I would do that a few times before I realized, like, dude, what do you want? What is it that you want?
But are you on Motown at this point yet?
No. I went back on y'all because I went back to how I got out of the deal. Yeah. And so by the time I ended up signing that deal, because I didn't know him enough, when we started working, it started becoming regular. I started getting on the train a lot more. And so he was the one that had the contract looked at. And he was the one that told me how bad the deal was. That's how I found out. So in the course of that, we became characters and
Wow.
That's how I introduced the characters. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We became the characters. And so by the time Timmy signed me to Motown, we were kind of together.
And he just bought you completely out.
He bought me completely out. I got my master's back. I got my publishing back, everything.
That's...
Well, y'all know that was God.
Absolutely. Nothing
yes.
but...
Yes.
That don't happen.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
Not happen. At all.
That doesn't happen.
So the testimony of that and being anxious, rushing, and you make a mess, still God can get you out. No matter how deep that is. Because that's deep.
Yeah.
I signed up. The publishing was done. It wasn't no reversions or revisions or nothing. It was done. It was like, because you got to get your attorney to negotiate that. Yeah. There was no attorney to negotiate nothing. So my publishing was done. So, yeah.
Jesus.
So I tell that story.
So now you're on Motown.
Now I'm on Motown.
Let's go back to the name. Why the characters?
Okay, so when I was on that label, I was with a rapper who I had produced him. It was because of him that we even got to that label in the first place. I was the producer, but I had sang backgrounds on a couple of his songs. And so they kept gravitating towards the person singing. Mm-hmm. And so that's how technically we both got signed. Mm-hmm. And then we I came up with the name Smooth Characters.
Hmm.
So when I got out of that deal, both of us got out of the deal, the rapper and I, when me and Charles became partners, I dropped the Smooth and just said The Characters. That's pretty much how it all began.
And that's it.
That's it.
Wow.
Because, of course, my idols, Jammin' Lewis, LA and Face, Gamelin Huff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that was the vision.
Mm-hmm.
That was the vision. And so that was the motivation. So the characters. I thought it was,
It rang.
Yeah. It had a ring to it.
I heard about y'all in church. I was still in church. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and just hearing about producers that was doing what they were doing.
Yeah, I was cracking.
Yeah, your name was the characters. The characters? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we want to be.
That's what we want to be.
L.A. and Face. Yeah, Jamie Lewis. Yeah, Gamble and Huff.
So what was your first moment as the characters? Now you're this group. You're signed to Motown.
I'm signed to Motown and I'm working on my album.
And you're working on your album?
And
are they letting you guys do the album yourself?
Yeah, Timmy was everything. I've mentored and I still mentor a lot of people. And people often ask me, Troy, have you ever had a mentor?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, you know, Timmy was my mentor. He was the one that taught me song, you know, how to make the song pop out, the verses pop out, the hook. Change that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that kind of like taught me how to make a good song. Wow. How to format a good song.
Yeah.
So I have to say that was then. And within that time, he already heard all my music, so he trusts me. So he let me do the songs that I wanted to do and make the album and everything.
So you made a full album while you were there?
I was making the full album.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
And then he took some of my songs, watch this, and he had a meeting with Cheryl Busby. Who was the president?
Who was the president?
Not that already.
You already know because you was Gerald Bubsy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Gerald came in. Timmy played Gerald some of my songs. And Gerald took a pad, sat on the couch, kicked his shoes off, and he would write the names of the songs down. Because they had groups and they had people sign other artists.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I'm not keeping it for myself, there's a lot of songs. Right. And at that time, I did a lot of harmonies. I was known, like you listened to my music, it was all harmonies. You would thought it was a group anyway, but it was all me. So that's what gave Timmy and Gerald like, yo, these songs are, yo, you know what? Yeah, yeah. So you did a list and it was this two groups that they had signed there. So Gerald came up with four songs for this group and four songs for this group.
Out of
out of my catalog.
Your pack of songs.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For this and for this. They had these kids that were there for about a year or so, and they hadn't recorded yet. So Timmy told Gerald, like, this would be good for these kids. And Gerald agreed. So he wrote down the four songs. He wrote down three songs. The fourth song that Timmy played, I had to interrupt and say, hey, this one's for me. This is mine. Can't have that.
You had your artist moment.
Yeah. And he was making a cassette for Gerald at the time. So, you know, so he had to rewind the tape to take it off and cover it with another song.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what he did. And so now it came time to meet these groups and, you know, to set up a meeting to work with them. So first came the kids. Yeah, I would go down and meet these kids. Came back to Motown. They were in the conference room, and it was four of them. And the youngest one was 15, and then the other one was 16, and then two of them were 17. So I sat down, and they were very excited, and they were telling me the songs that they really liked. And the youngest one, he said he liked a song, but he didn't know the name of it. And so I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't hear all of it. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't hear all of it? Yeah, we just caught the end of it. What is he talking? Like, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I said, did you remember any of the words? He's like, it was like your love or something like that. I said,
piece of the joint was still on.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was the record.
Caught the end of it because the song that they covered it with,
it wasn't long enough.
And so I was like, your love. Yeah, that's from my album. And it went quiet. It was kind of awkward. So I was like, hey, you guys sing something. And they sang. Now, I tell this story a lot, but when I said they sang about 7 or 8 seconds, I mean it. And I looked at the youngest one and I said, you can have the song. I swear to you, they just started singing. Let me tell you what they sang. They sang, Mary, Don't You Weep, take 6.
Mm.
I guess you can tell who I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm waiting for you to get there. I knew it from your love.
Yeah.
That's my joint.
Yeah. I was like, y'all can have a song. But they were sitting there looking at me like, because I interrupted them. So they kind of was like, what's wrong? I was like, no, y'all don't got to keep, you don't got
to
continue.
I don't need to hear nothing else.
I'm good. Yeah. And so they were like, one particular guy said, can we finish? I said, sure, go ahead. They finished and they killed it. I mean, it was so godforsakenly great that I really didn't need to hear anymore. But if you're going to go and do it, but I'm done. I'm ready. Like,
yeah.
And we went in and we did four songs. Needless to say, a year later, these kids was known all over the world as Boyz II Men.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said, my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC 8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to to Systemic Racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You rocking.
Because you came out, yeah, I mean, like, I came out the gate.
Gate.
Yep.
So your name is in every record company's Rolodex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes.
That's, yeah.
We need mm-hmm. them.
Right.
And that is getting up from that and trying to take a moment to do anything else.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
How? So does Motown cuff y'all? Do they say, hey, you know, we're going to kind of, in a sense, make y'all staff producers, staff writers?
No. He didn't do that. But I will say I did work with a lot of Motown artists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Timmy was, he was just great, man. He was just great. He didn't have the mentality of, if I'm going to do this for you, then you need to sign this. He didn't have that mentality. Mm-hmm. He was just straight up. And wherever he needed to say, you know, fix this or do this or da-da-da-da-da, he just did it. It wasn't strings attached to it.
But he also understands, and I love that you said it was no strings attached, because that in turn is actually the best attachment.
Yes.
When it becomes, it's just good business.
Yes.
When it's just good business and I can call you and say, hey, Troy, at your height of your height,
mm-hmm.
I need you.
Yes. Yes. And how you treat people. I would learn that over the years. And even to this day, you know, I have a lot of proteges, and people are like, did you sign him? No. So you working with them, you doing all da 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 da, and you sharing your platform, da 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 da. Did you sign him? No. Why? Yeah. We're working. Whatever we do, I'm gonna get what I need to get. Absolutely. Why do I need to sign him?
Yeah.
And it was a point where I did. Obviously, jeopardize that, and I did
go against
what I know, and I did, you know, end up signing some artists. I mean, artists and producers and writers. So I did do it at one point, but in the course of me doing it, it brought me back to why I didn't do it.
Gotcha.
I learned.
No, there's so
it
much
reminded me
it.
Of why yeah. I don't
so
do this.
There's so much involved.
It's too much involved. Like, and as far as contracts, people look at it as. Sign this person. You got to be careful who you sign. You don't know who you sign, and it goes both ways.
Some people you don't want to sign,
and you don't know that because you don't know that. Yeah, and it's according to the industry, you're supposed to sign. You better be careful who you sign. Mm-hmm. The people are crazy, and you don't know that you signed in a schizophrenic until they use the contract against you. My contract says you're supposed to da 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 da, and you didn't do that. So what? Like, you still got work to do. Why are you not even ready?
We're not even at that point of the contract.
You're not even ready for this.
Yeah.
But they you know, people start talking to them.
Yeah.
You should have gotten this. They should have done this to you. But you're not ready. No, but still, you're old. You know you're really old this. So I'm like, what if I work with you with no contracts? Then I can take my time. If you act silly, do something stupid, I can lay back off you. I ain't got no contract to remind me that you're my writer or my artist. Or,
yeah.
And I, you know, so that sign-in mentality, nah, y'all can have that. Miss me with that. There's a lot of attachments to that.
So you're just going to do the work.
Yeah.
And you'll get paid for your work.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I respect that.
I started Songbook not too long after.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Songs got caught in the middle of this. thing because I met Trey through Charles.
Oh.
Charles went to high school with Trey's stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
So Trey's stepdad asked Charles if you could listen to my son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says he wants to sing. He raps, but he says he wants to sing. And Charles being, you know, the business side of it, like, send him to Troy. So Charles asked me to do a favor and just say, can you listen to Kenny's son, man? Just listen to him. Tell me what you think so I could tell Kenny, you know, give him some advice.
If there's something there.
Yeah. And so this kid comes over, skinny kid, big head, big feet, skinny, big, what was that, Chiefs? I think it was a Chiefs jersey or it was a hockey jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. And he comes over on his bike and I'm looking outside. I said, I really didn't want to do it. And so he comes downstairs. And so, he said, you want to sing? He's like, yeah. He's only 15. He said 14, but I think he was 15. I said, okay, well, sing something. So he sang Donnell Jones, Where I Want to Be. And he did a pretty good job. There was one thing that I listened for, and y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You know the longer someone sings, just singing with no music or whatever, just standing there singing, how they drift
for sure
into another note?
Up or down.
They're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Up or down.
Yeah.
Because they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. He stayed right in key the whole time. So that's the first thing I noticed. His tone was cool. So, okay, he's young. He don't know what he's doing. So that's the thing. He don't know what he's doing. He's just singing. So he don't know.
And you know what you can bring
and I'm
to
looking,
it.
I'm listening to him like, okay. So you, okay.
I can work with that.
Mm-hmm. It's August. He's about to go back to school. He lived in Virginia. I lived in Jersey. And I reported back. I think he got some. I think he got some. His mom called me screaming. Oh my God! She played me the song because I let him, you know, I put the song on CD, let him take it, and she heard it, and she said, "What do I have to do? What does he need to do?" And I said, "Oh well, we'll just keep in touch, and you know, school breaks or whatever, he can come back, and I'll continue to work with him. Get him a SkyTel pager so we can keep in touch." Trey had a SkyTel pager in school. He's the only kid in high school with a SkyTel pager. It was a two-way pager. So that's how we kept in touch. And so the breaks, he would come back. He would come back during the breaks and stuff like that and just hang out with me, go to the studio with me. And then another break. And then the summer, he spent, you know, his stepdad lived 8 minutes away from me. So he stayed with his stepdad for the summer and then he would just come with me everywhere. And then he went 1 year back to school again and he graduated. And his mom gave him approximately 1 year to apply to music. So he had 1 year. And within that year, before that, that's where I left Characters.
Mm-hmm.
So he got caught right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so me being loyal, I'm like, you know what? I met you through Charles. Stay with Charles. You know, I'll still work with you. But, you know, Charles could get you a deal. I don't want to interrupt that. Besides, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I've never been on my own before. I don't know what I'm doing.
And you never had an artist before.
I never had an artist before. Yeah. And I never been on my own. You know what I mean? I started with Charles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I never been by myself. So I don't know. And you know, I'm in the studio with my head down, like working. I don't know nothing about, I know the business, but I didn't have to worry about that part. So as I'm gathering like what I want to do, who I want to be, that's what Songbook comes up. You know, Songbook is inspired by Talking Book.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder being one of my, and that's how that started. And once I realized what I wanted to do, he got caught in the middle and he was given a deal, an agreement or no, Charles made him a deal. Like, you do 60 songs and then I'll start shopping you a deal. And Trey was only 16.
60?
16.
Oh, 16 songs. Okay.
No, no, no. Trey was 16 but years old.
He wanted 60 songs, though.
Yeah, he said, if you do like 60 songs, then we'll start shopping you a deal. Now, I was like, dude, the boy don't even know. He still don't know how to do. He don't even know how to make music. So he would go in every day and he would, you know, he would do that. And then after he would leave the studio, because I'm not there anymore, he would come to my house and then we would go bowling or movies. And, you know, he would sit and watch me work on music. I sang still and did songs mm-hmm, then. Mm-hmm. I still wrote songs and mm-hmm. demoed them. That's how Jontay learned. That's how Carl Thomas learned. And now Trey.
Right.
So they watched me. I don't do that anymore. But, you know, and so during that time, it was like, I'm going to Carl Thomas session. He's on his second album. And I'm just visiting, just chilling with him. And we were at Electric Lady Studio.
Electric Lady.
Downstairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go downstairs, there's no signal. Mm-hmm. I come back up and all the messages are coming in. From what I didn't hear. And it's a bunch of Trey Songz messages. Yo, call me, man. Call me. LOL. Call me. Yo. I'm like, yo, what's going on? He's like, yo, man, your boy kicked me out of the studio. Tell me I can't come back. I was like, what are you talking about? Yo, he said I couldn't come back to the studio no more. I was like, what did you do? I didn't do nothing. He said do 60 songs. I did like 65 songs, 62, 63 songs. So I did what I was supposed to do, and I just, you know, didn't go in as much. And so he got mad because I didn't come in. So he told me, you know, it's real cold outside. It's mighty toasty in here. I said, oh, he gave you the, it's toasty in here. He had a saying.
It's toasty.
It's very cold out. It's mighty cold out there, but it's nice and toasty in here. And you're going to see how cold it is out there. That was his.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that to me, I was like, ooh, yo, he said that to you? You messed up. Nah. Because now I don't have to go in. He's laughing the whole time. I'm like, okay. Dang. Because during the course of that, when I had to sit down with his mom and tell him and his mom that, listen, I'm leaving the characters and I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Trey wanted to come with me. His mom was like, well, we, you know, and I'm like, no. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. And his mom was like, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I wasn't confident. I really wasn't. And she's like, no, but you will be fine. Like we can come with you and you'll be fine. I'm like, well, just, you know, because of how you met me.
Yeah.
Just he could still work with me. I still work with him. There's no problem. But they believed that I could do it before I believed that I could do it on my own. So when it all came down to it, I said, you know what? Trey's 17 by this time. I said, you know what? I know everybody he knows. What it did was it made me raise my head up.
Mm-hmm.
It made me step up now.
Yeah,
right. You got to play both roles.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to get up and look around and make calls and exercise those relationships that I do know, but I just didn't talk about that with them. Yeah. I talked about
the music. And it's just a different responsibility.
Yes, totally. And so I accepted that. And so I said, you know what? Dude, I got you. Don't worry about it. So I did a 10-song demo. Straight up 10 song demo. And at that time, Delonte got wind of the characters breaking up. And so Delonte wanted to have a meeting with me. I didn't know him. I've met him in passing. So I knew of him, but he called me. So he did have my number and he wanted to talk. And he felt like, you know, I heard that you guys broke up. So, you know, I'd like to, you know, help you out and see if I can, you know, manage you. Excuse me, what? He worked at Foot Locker on 34th Street. Manage me. I feel like I can, you know, I can help out. I don't know. I really wasn't sure. I didn't really, but he was confident. And so I made him a deal. And long story short, I said, okay, anybody you introduce, no, anything you get that I already know, anybody you take me to that I already know, 15%. Anything you introduce me to me that's new, 20%. that make them, you know, deal. We never signed a deal. We never did a contract. That was just our word. Me and Charles never signed a contract. We just, you know, I'm loyal like that. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, period. Yeah. And so Delonte became my manager. And while I was making Trey's project, I gave it to Delonte to say, show me what you could do. And so he went out and started shopping the deals. And we got back on this young Trey is he sounded like a broke down Mr. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
A wannabe Mr. Sir. Mm-hmm. Those who know who Mr. Sir is, we don't need to say.
Yeah.
And so it was like funny because he's a big fan.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a problem with that. Like that sounds like that means I'm doing good.
I'm on the right track.
Yeah. But they didn't think so. And so it came all the way down to two labels that were interested after everybody passed. Dave McPherson being one of them that passed on it. And I said him because, you know, I had already had a relationship. So, you know, I'm gonna go back to my relationships. Yeah. And he didn't see it, he didn't get it, and he felt like, you know. I actually took it to him first. And this is cool. It's cool. Boom. DreamWorks. Brian Postel.
Brian P.
And Atlantic Records. Those, it came down to them. And Brian was so cool, man. He was so cool. He really liked Trey. He really genuinely saw the vision. And he flew us out. We had a great meeting. The whole staff, everything. Mm-hmm. Everything was there. Trey was excited. So in Trey's mind, he wants to go to DreamWorks. And me and Delonte are like, the money's good, but that deal needs to be worked on a little bit. We need to, but Atlantic wasn't as much money, but the deal was good.
Yeah.
Overall deal. So Trey was still, he was Brian Postel. He was a fan of Brian Postel. He felt like, you know, Brian gets it and da-da-da-da-da. And we understood that, but me and Delonte, we're still like thinking about the deal. And so we decided to pray and fast on it, us three. That's, you know, you got to go there. And I remember being in L.A. And after that, I remember being in L.A. because me and Delonte, we knew it needed to be Atlantic. We knew, but we, you know, he's the artist. So it's his career. How are we going to convince him? He's really stuck on going to DreamWorks. And so when we prayed and fast about it, I remember walking down the street. I was out here in L.A. I was walking down the street going to Tile Records. And Delonte called me. And he said, did you hear? I was like, hear what? They shut DreamWorks down, the label department. So what you mean? The record label, the whole Steven Spielberg dissolved the record company of DreamWorks. I was like, yo. He said, yes. Had Trey did that deal, he'd be stuck. Whoa. So I guess Atlantic it is.
Right.
And Mike Caron, Delonte sent it to Mike Caron. Mike Caron heard it and he got it. He understood what it was. He brought it to Craig. Now I knew Craig for years. I didn't know Mike, but it was Mike's signing. And so by the time Craig found out that this kid was my artist, it all came together. Because this whole staff, Ronnie Johnson, rest in peace, Mo Landy, Morris Landy, they all got into it. They all was the staff, Deani, they all were all into it. And so by the time Craig came in, he saw his whole staff was already,
posting.
Yeah, it was already rocking. And so we went on with it and that's how it all began. Yeah.
Atlantic Records.
Mr. Caron.
Now you have some, you had a little, a little turmoil up there.
Yes.
Wasn't easy.
No.
Yeah.
My relationship was with Craig.
Mm-hmm.
I know R&B.
Yeah.
This is 2002.
Yeah.
This is 2003. By the time Trey got his deal, it was 2003.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
Yes, you do.
I don't need to be told how to make a song, R&B song. I can do this whole project. I mean, I did the whole demo. That's mm-hmm. what got you into it. What's the problem? For some reason, I'm fighting how to make an album, R&B album, with somebody I didn't feel
was R&B.
Was R&B. Hmm. Not to me, anyway, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Not better than me.
Hmm.
But he was the powers that be. And I had to do, you know, keep peace and keep it going because it's not my career at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so it was rough. Gotta Go was done and inspired by You Don't Know My Name.
You Don't Know My Name.
That was out mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can, if you're a DJ, you can mix the two.
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The sample, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheat on You. That was inspired by You Gonna Want the Throwback.
Mm-hmm.
Usher Throwback.
Yeah.
That was inspired. Now, I did all those songs while those songs were fresh. The project didn't come out to 2 years later. So Gotta Go. All these songs, they sounded dated. And so everybody was like, oh, Troy's gonna mess that boy's career up. He got him sounding old. I'm like, I the album was done.
But it wasn't moving that fast.
Yeah.
I was battling this person who is challenging me to do something that I do in my sleep. I didn't understand. Like, we were good. And then, as we were just about to, we just got the release date. Oh, yeah, Craig decided to sign Baby Grind on Me.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to swap dates with them because they had their song was already on the radio, was going.
It was cracking.
So Craig asked me to, if we could swap the dates. And so, because they're ready and you guys are not. And I felt like, well, we are. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, but we swapped the dates and Delonte came up with the, Just Gotta Make It video, which was genius. Trey's video of him, you know, not wanting to go into work and just, you know, going to the back of the barbershop and work on music. And I be the executive that would call and just, you know, give him the record deal and everything. It became an iconic kind of, for the culture, kind of an album. Mm-hmm. And that video pretty much became, I'm the record executive that called him.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't notice because I got two flashes. Quick. But it worked. It worked. And needless to say, it got a little even more rough the second album because then the new people came in.
Hmm.
The new people came in. And so then it was like I had to play another political game with that album.
Those regime changes.
Yes.
All right. It affects everybody.
Can be the death of those already pre-existing deals and artists and agreements.
It's not my artist. And
we had a flow.
It's like when a new coach comes in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every time with a new plan.
You were getting playing time, but this new coach.
We had a system. Me, Delonte, Bob Fish, we had a system. When Trey did his mixtapes, Bob Fish hit the streets. He knew exactly what to do with it. And Delonte being him, and it was like a thing whereas once I say the music is ready, once me and Trey are done with what we want to do, I then put it into, it's like a relay with the race, put it in, and then Delonte goes and then him and Bob Fish and they come up with the plan to do it, to take it to the, you know, and we had that system and it was good until the powers that be came in and they didn't understand what we were doing, R&B kid doing mixtapes, rappers do that, you know, R&B don't do that. And it was something that Trey, he really had down pat. He knew what he was doing when it came to the mixtapes. And so came to that third album, though, even though I can't skip over the fact that, you know, when John Tay came in with that Can't Help But Wait.
Yeah, it's a joint.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Now, I always say this. Trey listened to everything that I said to do. He never argued with me. I never had to yell. Remember how hard I said I was on people?
Yeah.
never had to be hard on Trey ever because he trusted anything I said and he did everything I said to do up until this point. He was mad because they said they were going to really push Wonder Woman. You remember? He raps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he really believed in that record. And he felt like, yo, you said you were going to push this record. Well, the record wasn't doing too well. Well, it was weird because it was kind of like dated because Danger Hands did it. And this is Danger Hands without Timberland.
Mm-hmm.
So that pocket wasn't going anymore. So it was kind of hard to mix the record in with other records because it wasn't. Yeah. And so it was stalling. And so we had to do something else. We had to get something going because it wasn't looking too good. And that Jonte came with that record.
Did you produce that record?
No, Stargate.
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 So Delonte called me. What you think? Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Good luck with Trey. He's like, oh, you don't think he gonna like it? Oh no, he gonna like it. He gonna love it. But he ain't doing it. Why he's not? Cause, dude, man, he's still messed up on that promise. They promised him. They promised that he would get that Wonder Woman, and then, yeah. And then he knows that if he puts his voice on this, that's going to give them a reason.
Yeah.
To not do. Yeah.
Yeah. They promised Tank Stronger was going to work too.
He did.
And then he went on Twitter.
He's like, you motherfuckers.
When the Taliban banned music in Afghanistan, millions were plunged into silence. Radios were smashed, cassettes burned. You could be beaten or jailed or killed for breaking the rules. And yet, Afghans did it anyway. This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangster rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangster rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Thank you for your one of my favorite songs.
Yes. That's a craft of a song. People don't understand the lyric. The lyric.
They don't know. I took a dollar bill into the booth.
Yes.
I told the dollar bill to sing through me.
Yes. Tell me the story.
Tell me what you've been through.
Yes.
I told the dollar bill to tell me.
Tell your story.
Tell your story. Tell your story.
They missed it. That was too deep. It was too deep.
It had been between some cheeks somewhere, man.
Exactly. I just wanted to know. I need to know exactly what cheeks.
Hey, listen, kids. When you get money, wash it first, okay? Don't touch your face after you touch the money, okay? You don't know where it's been.
Thank you for Lost It All. In your travels, in your journeys, throughout the annals of time, you've studied, you've curated a lot of R&B music, and somewhere I'm sure you've figured out your top five. Your top five. Top five. Your top five R&B singers, R&B songs. TTU, I know that you have, I know that you've seen, I know you know this part. Your top
Okay, all right. Resolve. Top five.
Troy Taylor, we want to know your top five R&B singers.
My top five singers goes as such. Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
Marvin Winans. Kim Burrell. and Karen Carpenter.
Ooh.
And I have reasons for each one.
So. You don't have to. You don't have to tell nobody nothing.
Yeah. I'm just I'm a teacher.
They
so
all code.
Tell nobody shit.
Yeah.
Your top five R&B songs.
This is tough. This is definitely tough because again, I have many, but I have to go to the ones that inflected my life or affected my life.
Mm-hmm.
And You and I, Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a song.
That's a craft of a song.
What a song.
And then I'm gonna twist it over here and go, I wish this too could share because it's the same artist.
Mm-hmm.
And if it could, it would be Question Is / Ain't No Need to Worry. It's still under Marvin Winans, you know. Yeah.
Come on, no,
yeah, it's, yeah. So, so that's the one.
Just sing that as a group, as a kid, yeah.
Question Is, and Ain't No Need to Worry. Oh my gosh. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
For the Love of You, the Isley Brothers. Ron's voice is golden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to change up a little bit on y'all your format because this one is Rain Dance by Jeff Lorber. There's no vocals. It's just a jazz record. Groove Me.
Yeah.
Teddy Riley.
Yeah.
Shout out to Brianna and the Shoulders. His viral shoulders on Groove Me.
I gotta say that because
shout out
to
the OGs, the Hard Brothers, man. This is my guys,
man. Come on, man. Come on,
Groove Me changed everything for me.
Man.
It changed everything for me. Because that was like, it made your face crinkle all the way up. And it's just, so those are part of my, I got to say that because this, I go deep.
I think we asked that before. And I just want to know though, is Aaron Hall the first person to really sing like, hard sing up temples?
No.
Who?
Charlie Wilson.
Yeah.
Here we go. Voltron time. We're gonna build your perfect R&B artist. Okay.
I want to know.
I want to know where you get the vocal from for this artist. Where you get the performance style for this artist. Where you get the styling for this artist, and where you get the passion for this artist.
Come on, develop this artist.
And I'm gonna throw a wrinkle in there for you. I'm going to throw a wrinkle in there for
him.
What
you got?
And who produces and writes for this artist?
Ooh. Ooh. I like it.
Okay,
like
so who are you getting a vocal from?
Now, the question is the artist a male artist or female
it's
artist?
Whatever you want the artist to be. It's a hybrid.
Ain't no question.
It's a liger.
Whatever comes whatever you to your want mind.
A liger. Okay.
You could mix and mingle. A liger. Whatever you want. Get the vocal. Who are you getting the vocal from? What's the artist that got that vocal?
The vocal I'm getting from Beyonce.
Shit.
People do not recognize the beast that she is vocally.
They don't.
Y'all don't think so?
It. No. I argue with people online all the time. Oh, Beyonce don't
here
really
you go,
sing
here
that
you
great.
Go again. Why are you arguing with those people?
Because some things need to be talked about. And fought for.
Man, Beyonce's amazing.
If
man.
You
she
don't, if
is
you
an executioner.
What Beyonce
she's
is.
She's an executioner.
You should not be listening to music. Somebody should cut your ears off and solder your eardrums.
Nope.
If you can't hear what Beyonce is vocally.
The performance, I'm going to take it from Michael.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it from Michael on that.
Beyonce, Mike.
You're going Beyonce vocal, Michael performance.
And then I'm going to take the finesse and charisma of Usher.
Mm. Who are you getting the styling from? The drip.
I'm going to take the drip of Pharrell.
The passion of the artist, the heart of the artist.
The heart of an artist. I'm still, can I?
You can double up, you do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's going to be Michael.
Sheesh.
It's gonna be Michael again, cause Michael and that passion and that heart when it came to music, you ain't messing with that. I'm good. I'm sorry.
I ain't saying no names. When you ask, who you with? say no. Nay.
That nigga had energy when he came back. Perfect energy for this segment.
Yeah.
Perfect energy for this segment.
Talk to him, Jay.
This segment. I ain't saying no names. Tell us a story. Funny or fucked up. Funny and fucked up. The only rule to the game is you can't say no name. So right now, this is Troy Taylor, the songbook himself, as you could see.
Songbook.
It's chapters to this thing.
Chapters.
The only difference in this book is you can't say no names.
Yeah.
Troy Taylor.
Troy Taylor. Say it.
It was this time that I did a record and pitched it to a movie, for a movie on a soundtrack. This might not be juicy enough, but, and we got it. But I ain't saying no names. Someone came in, replaced that record, my record, with another record, even though I was the one that brought the situation to the situation. They used that and replaced the record with the record they wanted to do it with, and I never got it. That's one. I ain't saying no names. I ain't saying no names, but I was in the hallway of, not the hallway. It was a time where I was in a studio. I was asked to remix this record, reproduce the record. The artist knew that it was being done. So I felt like I did a version that was good enough for what it needed to be. But this artist came in with the worst attitude ever. Did not cooperate at all. Totally was being a dick. I got it done. However, I had to put it together because they didn't want to give me the additional vocals I needed. That same person who I then saw in a hallway of award show, I ain't saying no names, saw me. And because that happened, I didn't speak to him. He called my name and I ignored him because of that moment. And then that same artist saw me again somewhere. And I got a chance to tell him the dick that he was for what he did. Is that good enough?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would never know who it is. Yeah, I don't care what nobody say. You will never figure it out. No one would ever figure it out. Because even if I, even saying him, you still wouldn't know who it was. Because then you think you had it, you would not believe this person.
How they treated you.
How they treated me. Yeah. Nah. Not cool. Last but not least.
Okay.
I ain't saying no names.
Mm-hmm.
But I produced this artist. I'm going to say that because I want to say iconic artist. She's an iconic artist. I was asked to reproduce the vocals on this artist. I did an amazing job. I know that I did an amazing job. The record got voted for Grammy, best Grammy, best traditional vocals by a female. Got nominated. The producer of that record was mad at me for doing this song and it working because the producer didn't want it for that artist. So he was mad at me for going in and executing it. But when that artist got nominated for a Grammy and won, I never spoke to that producer to say, now what, nigga? That producer went on to act like and celebrated as if they were down for it all along after it won. We never talked.
You ain't saying Grammy names.
But I ain't saying no names, but the only name I'm saying is the Grammy.
Yeah.
We got three guys. I don't know if this is the first. Three ain't saying no names.
I just had to do that because I had, you know.
Yeah.
This is through the life of Troy Taylor. There's a lot of.
Like 82 more. <You're good. laughs>
Woo! This game is terrible, y'all. I have been blessed to last and sustain myself through the grace of God.
Absolutely.
Because it's no joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke at all. And I don't, it's not for the week at all.
Not for the week.
Not for the week at all.
No. Well, brother Troy Taylor, Troy Taylor University, songbook, elder, scholar, theologian. Yeah, you're him.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate your greatness. We appreciate your dedication to the craft, maintaining a standard.
Yes.
Of excellence, which I pray will infiltrate everything that's done within our Black entertainment community, that excellence will be, what do they say? When you catch it, like a flu or a...
Contagious.
Pray that your desire for excellence, continued excellence, will be contagious. Mm-hmm. In this conversation that we're having right here, as it goes out into the airwaves and into the YouTubes and all of these things, that they would get that from your episode. We need a standard.
Yes.
We need more excellence.
It's real shit.
We need it.
For sure.
And you are responsible for that.
Thank you.
And I'm going to make you even more responsible for it. You have to be somewhere in charge of it. Not just, you know, in your own space and your, mm-hmm. you're not just where it's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
But behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
Is where we need you. That's where we need you. That is my charge to you.
And I earned it.
Absolutely.
Definitely earned it.
Absolutely.
I've definitely earned it. There's too many fakes. Too many fakes. Just playing music industry.
Mm.
Playing music industry. Really, literally playing. As soon as they leave the office, they don't talk nothing music. They don't eat sleep music. They just play executive. Yeah. I've seen so many, still seeing them.
Mm.
This is why music is too many fakes. Too many imposters. Yeah.
Whew. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. You just saw it. I don't have to say anything else. Troy Taylor.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC 8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday,
I already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.